105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Performed by Cambridge musicians. Voted for by you. This is the Unsigned Chart.
4 minutes past 6 o'clock. Time to kick off our entertainment hour, as we always do on a Thursday evening. Coming up, we've got film and theatre with Sky Keeble and Hattie Simpson. They're on the way and they're going to be reviewing The Riot Club and The Giver. Plus also Hattie taking a look at what theatre is taking place in and around the city. First of all, it's week number 124 of the Unsigned Chart. We'll start by taking a listen to this week's new entry, Pia Dean featuring Nikki Dean Hart. Here's Clarity.
It's a funny kind of love, keeps you warm then leaves you cold. It's a runny kind of love, loving a damaged and fragile soul. I'm feeling my spirit wants to break free and spend some time alone with me to find a so clarity and figure out where I wanna be. Close your puppy dog eyes, hold your breath and count to 10. Take that big leap of faith and chase away all those heavyweight fears. I'm feeling my spirit wants to break free and spend some time alone with me to find a little clarity and figure out where I wanna be.
That's one of those tracks where you switch on to Cambridge 105 and think, oh, it's a song. You don't realise that it's actually from the Cambridge area. It's Pia Dean featuring Nikki Dean Hart. The song is called Clarity. It's the new entry in our unsigned chart this week. Pia's an indie songwriter from Cambridge. Her influences include Amy Winehouse, Sade, Marvin Gaye, Jason Mraz, Adele, Stevie Wonder, Aretha Franklin, and so many more. The track was released a little earlier on in the year, and the video, which is on YouTube, has already received 3,500 views. Pia Dean, Nikki Deanhart, Clarity is the song. It is in the unsigned chart as the new entry this week.
The top five records from Cambridge's hottest musicians, as voted for by you.
So then, let's count down the unsigned chart for this week. And we've lost Fred's House. Bonnie and Clyde have been run out of town, I'm afraid. So they're no longer with us. It was a good song. A shame to lose it. And number five, though, Tilly Dalgleish, Patchworks. Tilly's been a bit ill these past few days. So, Tilly, do get well soon if you're listening. Or get well soon if you're not listening, for that matter. At four, Let Go, The Sky, Golden Skies. John Chisholm is at number three. Made for This. At two, Screen People, All Seeing Eyes, which means number one is Tom Lumley, Every Day.
Wake up every morning, grab my coat and walk out the door to the place I've always known, the place that's watched me grow. Wave my hand as I walk down the street, seeing the people who believe in me. Go to the pub and see all the locals sat in their chairs, getting very vocal, very vocal. What if these walls, they just won't move? It's all the same every day. What if these walls, they just won't move? It's all the same every day. Another day spent in the village, in the bars until they finish, never knowing when to leave, giving the barman lots of grief, lots of grief. What if these walls, they just won't move? It's all the same every day. What if these walls, they just won't move? It's all the same every day. They just won't move. It's all the same every day. What if these walls, they just won't move? It's all the same. It's all the same. It's all the same every day.
Tom Lumley, Every Day, number one in the unsigned chart this week. Do go to the website, cambridge105.fm/unsigned chart, and you can vote for the song that you want to top the chart next week. And Emma, you've been searching on the floor. You found something. What have you got?
I found a plectrum.
Woo! That's probably left by now. Who was in with Tim last night? Screen People were in with Tim last night. I suspect it probably belongs to them. Well, Tim's in a while to do a recording, so we can pass that on back to them via Tim. Sky and Hattie should be here shortly as well. We're doing movies, we're doing The Giver and also The Riot Club. So we'll do that before 7 o'clock, plus a look at theatre as well. And also Rude Magic.
And jumped out of bed and put on my best suit, got in my car.
On 105 FM and online.
Cambridge 105.
24 minutes past 6 o'clock, time for film and theatre, this week with Skye Keeble and Pippi Longstocking.
Oh, no.
You got the look.
Sorry to disappoint you.
Is it not?
No, just pigtails today. I'm not even ginger. I'm very blonde at the moment.
You are very blonde, actually.
Very blonde.
I haven't seen you for a couple of weeks. A lot seems to have happened. Including the Hattie button, which we need to put on again. Right. Right, so what are we going to be looking at this week, guys?
We're going to look at some new releases coming out tomorrow. And we'll start off with The Riot Club. The debauchery of an elite university dining club spirals out of control in this shocking tale of arrogant posh boys.
Got the money for those fines?
Sorry.
I will be back very shortly. Maestro!
Chateau Petrus, 1976.
Now, those of us with half an interest in politics will be familiar with a club called the Bullingdon Club.
Yes.
Where one David Cameron and Boris Johnson were members, and where this sort of thing is alleged to have taken place. But that's got nothing to do with that at all, is it? This is something completely separate, even though it's a very similar school.
Well, it's no secret that it's based on it, I think.
But it's an acclaimed stage play called Posh. And, it was inspired by the real-life antics of the Bullingdon Club. There are 20,000 students at Oxford English Oldest University, but...
England's oldest university.
But among these few chosen few can be found an even more privileged elite. The historic Riot Club has just 10 members. Destined for positions of power and influence, the sport, rich and jaded members of this historic dining club are notorious for their depravity and hedonism. Fresh-faced first-year students Miles and Alistair are eager to join, but their lives change forever when a wild, drunken dinner takes a very dark turn. And it's also been, its director is Lone Scherfig, who most recently credited, credits include One Day and Oscar nominated An Education. So, great young cast.
Yeah, excellent cast. Sam Claflin off of Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
And that other film, the horror one, that was also based in Oxford University.
Oh, Quiet Ones.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Douglas Booth, he was off of Romeo and Juliet that didn't do very well.
Okay.
Not the one that we all love, the one that came more recently.
Wait, which one do they all love?
The Leonardo DiCaprio, Claire Danes one.
Oh, I see,
well, that's not
That's not recently, no.
That's not recently at all, is it?
No, I know, that's my point.
Okay.
And Jessica Brown-Findlay, who's off of Downton Abbey, which I'm very excited
I'm glad
for.
You're on top of all these who have been in, like...
Who was she in Downton Abbey?
She was Lady Sybil.
Lady Sybil?
Lady Sybil.
Ah, yes, who met an unfortunate end.
Dead.
I know.
Not to spoil it.
Well, no, that happened like seasons
ago. A couple of seasons ago that kind of happened.
That broke my heart. Anyway, back to this film. I think it's going to be a really interesting one because it, you know, like I said, it's no secret that it is based on real life events. Well, not events, but, you know.
Circumstances.
Yes, situations.
Situations.
I think.
I think it's a film that speaks for itself. We'll check it out. If you want to catch it, it's on at Vue at 4 o'clock, 6:30, 9 o'clock, and 11:30 tomorrow, or at Cineworld at 1:10, 10:04, 6:30, 9:10, and 11:25.
If Cineworld open tomorrow.
What do you mean if Cineworld's open tomorrow?
Cineworld is currently closed.
Why is Cineworld currently closed?
Why is that, Sky?
What? Oh no, there was just an incident in the foyer, so they've
what sort of incident?
For health and safety reasons, they've had to close it until it gets sorted.
Oh,
so
I see.
That's the only reason.
Okay, so it's not this is not sort of like a major chemical leak. Somebody's just upset the popcorn.
No, this is what's going on here.
Okay,
it's not that bad.
No,
I thought we'd miss the news story for a moment. Right, we'll come back. We'll do the Giver show next, and that's after Bernhoff. Here's Come Around With Me on Community Radio in your city, Cambridge, 105. Bernhoff, Cambridge 105. It's 6:34 in the middle of film and theatre with Sky and Hattie. And we're going to turn our attention now to The Giver. What's that all about then?
The Giver. In this story, a boy uncovers the sinister secrets of his utopian society in the striking adaptation of the young adult bestseller.
I can tell why you've been acting this way. Your injection levels are extremely low. I can correct this, and then we will address what's happened.
I know that there's something more,
Fiona.
Something missing from our lives. No, not missing. Something that has been stolen from me and from you. I don't know what it is exactly, but Jonas does.
Ooh.
Drama. Peace and tranquility has finally been achieved in a futuristic community, but it has come at a great cost. Overseen by the chief elder, played by the fabulous Meryl Streep, this is a soulless, conformist, literally monochrome society. Passions are suppressed by drugs, and sameness is the goal of all strictly monitored artificial family units. Because of his ability to see beyond, young Jonas is assigned the exalted role of receiver of memory. That means he gets unique access to mankind's troubled past from the man who acts as custodian of history, the Giver, played by the equally fabulous Jeff Bridges. The truth he learns proves to be shocking. So this is the same director who put together Salt and Rabbit Proof Fence, Philip Noyce, and this is based on Lois Lowry's award-winning 1993 young adult novel. The novel has huge acclaim. It's a fantastic piece of young adult literature. I have not finished it.
Ooh.
But
there's a follow-up question, which is then when did you start it?
This is like the epitome of young adult literature. It's a fantastic, fantastic book. It's won so many awards. It's been around almost as long as I have.
So not that long then.
It's 21 years old, this book. But this film has had really, really bad rap for being anything like the book it's based on. And I think that wouldn't be a problem if they weren't saying that it's an adaptation of the book. You know, if they were saying, like, inspired by the book, like some of the others do. This has had such bad reviews.
I've never understood
far.
When filmmakers take that direction, because if they're going to change the story completely, why don't they just either go off and write their own story in the first place, or go and choose another book to do it from?
Exactly. And I mean, the author Lois Lowry has sort of, you know, been a bit like, oh, it's gonna be okay, guys, like, don't feel too bad about it. But I think the trailers haven't shown a lot of promise. The world of this book is in black and white, and it's when sort of one of the early sort of climaxes of the story happens that everything sort of turns out to be in colour. So it sounds really weird to read it, but it's a fantastic story.
But the film is in colour. They don't do a Wizard of Oz on us.
Most of the film is in colour. They've aged up the central character. He's supposed to be 12 in the book, and in this film he's 16, which sort of skews the whole sort of situation of the society and everything. So I will probably go and see it just to see what the reaction's like, but I'm not expecting great things. Meryl Streep is fantastic. Jeff Bridges is one of my favourite actors, but I don't think this is going to be a film that really shows their talents. There's also a cameo from Taylor Swift. Woohoo! So, if you would like to sit through 97 minutes of a film associated with a great book, I'm doing a really bad, really bad rap for this film. Anyway, you can catch it. Tomorrow it opens at Vue at 12:55, 3:30, 5:55, 8:15, and at Cineworld at 10:55, 1:20, 3:45, 6:05, 8:30, and 10:50. And plenty of showings over the weekend as well. But, you know, write in, let us know what you think. If you've read the book and you see the film, I'd love to know your opinion.
07919 070490, the text, the email drive@cambridge105.fm. Hattie wants to hear from you.
I would love to know.
Right, theatre on the way.
Yes.
We're also going to give you a bit of breaking news, first of all. There's a couple of votes taking place in Scotland today. We can give you the result of one of them. The Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St Andrews has voted to accept women members for the first time in its 260-year history.
Woohoo! Feminism! Woo! Yes!
Expert analysis from Hattie Simpson there. Right, we'll hear, no doubt hear more about that at the top of the hour. Glenn will have the news for you then. Travel news on the way. First, here's the Pearsons, who I seem to remember are coming to the Junction at the end of the month. Can I have tickets, please, Miss Simpson? Minutes away from 7 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, very special edition of the Eclectic Light Show includes a documentary on Jimi Hendrix, who died 44 years ago today. Hattie, we're going to look at theatre now, aren't we?
We are indeed.
Okay, Corpus Playrooms?
No, ADC Theatre.
ADC Theatre,
yes,
that's close.
Yes, that's where we're going to start with The Last 5 Years. This is Jason Robert Brown's award-winning show in an emotionally powerful and intimate musical telling the story of two New Yorkers who fall in and out of love over the course of 5 years. The show's unconventional structure consists of Kathy, who's a struggling actress, telling her story backwards, while Jamie, an up-and-coming writer, tells his story chronologically. So, forwards. This is put together by Corkscrew Theatre Company, bringing together some of Cambridge's brightest talent to tell stories, engage audiences and complement an already vibrant Cambridge theatre scene. This features Amy Castledean and Steve Nicholson, who we saw previously in the Festival Players Parade, which went down a storm when that was on at the ADC Theatre beforehand. So this is, it's a story that's quite similar to Once, which is sort of, you know, gathering all sorts of awards on the West End and Broadway. And, oh my gosh, I can't remember what the other one is.
Did look at me. I didn't expect me to remember.
Scott Dina Menzel in. It's a new one. And okay. It's a similar kind of storyline. So if you're into those sort of more like intimate musicals, then definitely check this out. It's a great cast, great theatre company. Yes, you can catch it. It's on for two nights, Friday the 26th and Saturday the 27th of September at 7:45 at the ADC Theatre. Tickets are £14 for adults and £11 concessions. You can get them from ADCTheatre.com or by phoning the box office on 01223 300 85, or the box office on Park Street.
Oh, well remembered.
Yeah, I'm quite proud of that. Also around Cambridge, in terms of theatre, Charlie and Lola are coming to Cambridge Arts Theatre.
I saw a review of Charlie and Lola and it basically said it's a great production. If you haven't got children of your own, Borrow some. So I called my sister up. My niece is unavailable. She's, her card is already marked for Saturday. She can't come.
What a letdown, Julian.
I'm disappointed.
So Charlie and Lola are completely excited to be back on stage with their extremely new play. And this time, how exciting, they're bringing along Sizzles the dog. What? Are you excited?
I'm excited. I'm very excited. Actually, not so excited and I can't go.
So if you liked Charlie and Lola's bestest play, you'll love this extra special, brand new show. Enter a magical journey through the seasons as Charlie and Lola discover that everything is different and not the same. What happens when Lola and her best friend Lotta say they will honestly and promisedly look after Sizzles? And follow Charlie and his best friend Marv on a pirate squid bones adventure. Woohoo! So this extremely new Double is all about friendship and adventures and is a treat for everyone. It's a mix of puppets, live action and music, and obviously based on the books by Lauren Child and the ever popular TV series.
I've never heard of it.
How can you have never heard of Charlie and Lola?
It's like, you all sound really excited.
Yes, it's just because it's really exciting.
It is really exciting.
Why?
What's wrong with you?
Oh, is it a children's thing?
Yeah, of course it's a children's,
book.
Sorry, I'm getting old, but I'm not.
It's because Sky is no longer a child at heart. That's his problem.
I'll bring one of the books in for him next week.
Oh, do! He'll love it. That'll make for great commuting reading.
Good, yes. Yeah. My reading range,
These are quite interesting, though, these productions. The mix, because I'm trying to remember which production I saw. You sort of start off and you often see the puppets and their familiar guise, which the kids will be familiar with them. And then sometimes the puppeteers will step out, so they'll actually be taking part in it themselves, and they introduce some sort of human character who's never been seen before in order to guide people through the story and do things, which is a little bit difficult with just puppets who have to stand behind rocks sometimes.
I think with kids' shows that are based on books and TV series, they can often be a bit sort of hit and miss, really, depending on the content and the way that it's put together. But Charlie and Lola performances always receive fantastic praise. So if you have kids, or if you can borrow some on Julian's recommendation, then you can catch it tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Or Saturday at 10:30 a.m, 1 p.m. and 3:30 p.m. All tickets are £12.50, and you can get them from the Cambridge Arts Theatre website or their box office, whose number I haven't memorised. I'm sorry. Emma knows it.
Emma?
It's about 0123 503 333.
Okay, if you're just a casual listener and you happen to get strange calls trying to book Charlie and Lola, then we're really sorry. We now know who to blame.
So that's it for theatre at the moment.
Okay, thank you very much. See you both next week.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. We can tell me about Harry Potter. We'll have to do that next week. Oh no, yes. You can take yourself until then.